Oh yeah. So just disclaimer, I never use AI to write for me ever. So that's just a big no-no. Like, it's really bad at that. I hope it gets better, but right now it's just absolutely terrible.
You're listening to the Content 10X podcast, where it's all about content repurposing. I'm Amy Woods, and I'm here to help you maximize your content and find smart ways to get your message in front of more of the right people, whilst also saving time. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome to the Content 10X podcast. I'm your host, Amy Woods. And in this episode, we have the pleasure of hearing from Erica Schneider, who is an editing coach, course creator, and founder of Cut the Fluff, where she offers training and coaching to entrepreneurs and executives who are looking to grow their organic presence. Now, Erica recently launched an online course called Long to Short, which is all about repurposing long-form written content into shorter social media content. And I really wanted to speak to Erica about her thoughts on this and her systems and processes and so much more. And she doesn't disappoint at all. This is a fantastic conversation. She shares her journey from freelance writer to head of content to entrepreneur. We discuss how a personal brand can build you a high-value network and what people struggle with the most when it comes to writing good social copy. She also shares why she never uses AI to actually write content and her excellent tips for growing your LinkedIn audience and lots more. It's a fantastic conversation. I can't wait to share it with you. So let's dive in. Erica, welcome to the Content 10X podcast. It's great to have you here.
Awesome to be here. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited for this conversation. I'm really looking forward to it. Now, the Content 10X podcast, it's all about ways that we can maximize and repurpose and do more with our content. And I know that you've launched your course Long to Short, which is about repurposing long form content to short. So I can't wait to dig into that. But before we get into that, I think you've got a really interesting background, if you don't mind. I'd just love to know a bit more really about how you've got from where, you know, to where you are today. So what's been the journey to today?
Yeah, so I started my marketing career in 2018 as a freelance writer and editor, but it wasn't necessarily in what I ended up being in, which is the B2B SaaS space. It was kind of everything, right? I was editing things on like Goat Health and like random digital magazines for like towns, but it was fun. And when I did make my way into the B2B SaaS space, I was just having a really great time because I had previous experience at B2B SaaS companies. So it just kind of fit. So I found a content marketing agency in 2019 called Grizzle. They're based in London. And I was freelance managing editing for them for a while. And then I started to take on more tasks with strategy and hiring and ops and all of that. And it was a very small team at first. It was just a bunch of freelancers and me and the founder. And eventually made my way up to head of content there. And I was there for 4.5 years. So my expertise or the thing that got me into it was mostly editing and writing. And so that's where my passion has kind of always been. But just to back up a bit, that was 2019. In 2022, the founder of that agency, Tom, challenged all of us who were working there to start personal brands. So it wasn't a, you know, you have to do this, but it was a, hey, you know, personal brands are becoming more important. If you want to, it would be cool if you wanted to try. And I gave it a try, kind of hated it at first. I was on Twitter and I hated it. Then I moved to LinkedIn a few months later, and then I went back to Twitter. And to cut that story short, 2 years later, I've grown my audience to 80,000. And really, really enjoy social more than I ever thought I would because I don't use it personally anymore. But I have experienced the power of how having a personal brand or a personal platform, as I often call it, can really build your high value network. You can meet amazing people. I've met all of my marketing mentors this way. I know I'm Amanda Natividad. You've spoken to her. She kind of met me for this podcast. I only know her because I started posting on social. So 6 months ago, I went out on my own, and now I'm an entrepreneur. I'm still figuring out exactly who I help and how I help them, but I've helped a bunch of entrepreneurs build their personal brands as well, and doing creator things and figuring out if and how I also want to continue working with content teams. So a bit of a work in progress.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Was it Tom, you said, the person running the last agency, that he encouraged you all to grow personal brands? Because it's often something that I think business owners and leadership get a little bit worried about, don't they? Because they think, oh, it's going to make you more employable and more poachable, and you're going to leave as soon as you get a big personal brand. But I guess were his intentions just that he wanted to help you all with your careers, and I suppose hopefully all ships rise together and the agency will do well as a result of you guys all doing well with your brands and things like that?
Yeah, that was exactly it. Tom's a really good guy. He always had the motto of, I want people to leave better than they came. So,
brilliant.
I think it helps to be really small and not have like a bunch of, VC money and pressure and all of that. But no, he's just a really good guy. And so, but it's true, because while a lot of people did try to poach me, and one of our team members actually did get poached and leave, he's in a better place for it. And while I did eventually leave as well, the agency got a ton of new clients because of my personal brand. So I get that, leadership, it can be a bit nerve-wracking, and sometimes there's liability things, and it does take time. So, if you are a team that does not want to give up any time to your employees, I guess I can understand the hesitation, but ultimately they're going to be happier. They're going to grow their networks and they're going to bring more publicity to your business. So I can't personally see any downsides that would stop me from doing that.
No, I agree. And what is it about the work that you do today that you love? Like, what do you love the most in terms of the kind of work that's coming your way at the moment?
Yeah, so I'm working with a lot of people that have really, really good ideas and just don't know how to necessarily translate that to words, right? So the written word, they really, really struggle with. And also like strategic communication. So not just like this is written really beautifully, but this is written for a purpose and it's potentially going to bring in this type of lead, or this is for awareness and things like that. I'm working with entrepreneurs that don't know much about marketing that need help. And I'm also working with content marketers that know too much about marketing and are overthinking it. I'm kind of in both places, and it's just a really fun challenge. It feels very good when people come to you with a problem and you're like, I can very easily help you with that. Like, it's really nice to tap into that expertise and feel like you're helping people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about the new course. I've already mentioned it. So you have a course, Long to Short. I know you say it'll help people to get 50 plus social posts from a 1,000 word piece of content. You said that the idea came to you because people often who write long form content actually really struggle on social, and it's quite a hard context switch from long form to short form, well, to social. So I guess firstly, why do you think that people struggle with that context switch if they're really good at the long pieces, but social's very challenging?
Yeah, it's a bit different because the long form world that I come from, you have space and you are trained to and required to back up your claims with evidence and support and examples. You don't really have the luxury of doing that on social. You also can tell kind of long-winded stories in long form and connect the pieces as you go. Whereas on social, you just have this tiny box, right? On LinkedIn, you have 3,000 characters max. On Twitter, you've got this 280 character box. And so it can be really, really difficult to look at 1,000 plus words and think like, how the hell do I condense this down to 3,000 characters? Then the subsequent problem from that is, say that you do that really well, you kind of just stop there, and we can get more into that with the repurposing aspect, which I'm sure you know, have a ton to say about, but it's definitely really, really hard. And I know that from personal experience. I really struggled on social at first. My sentences were longer than they needed to be. I was including way too much information that nobody has time to read on social. They're skimming like crazy. And I hadn't really developed any copywriting skills. And I kind of see content and copywriting as they overlap a ton, but they're slightly different in the sense that copywriting is much more like snappy and getting people you know, to go from line to line, and then very quickly there's like a CTA or solution. Whereas with content writing, you can ebb and flow, right? You can introduce an idea and not come back to it until much lower down. It's just a different way to think about narrative framing. And I think people really, really struggle with that.
Yeah. And I guess in terms of the way that content works on social media, social posts, if you're a professional writer and you're following many of the rules that you've learned through studying how to write English at school and college and things like that, you have to throw a lot of the rule book out of the window with social, don't you? And, you know, no, you wouldn't naturally put a line break there, but that's too much text. So you're going to have to break up some white space and things like that. So it's the struggle of throwing out the rule book somewhat as well, isn't it?
Exactly. You can get away with so many weird grammatical, like, line breaks and starting every sentence with a conjunction. And, you know, grammar really doesn't matter too much on social. And I think the hardest part is filtering yourself down. The other hard thing is hooks, which I also have another course on. This is my third course. And what you don't realize as a content writer is you have a title that people click on and they can see, and then you begin your introduction, right? And you can have some really interesting introduction where it's like, you know, my hair turned gray because I was doing this and that. And it's like, that's not a hook on social, right? Your hook on social needs to capture attention, sort of act like a title, but also act like a huge curiosity, you know, open loop that makes people want to click more. And I think people struggle like crazy with hooks. I certainly did. It took me like 6 months to master them. And so that's the other big issue as well.
Yeah. So let's say you have 1,000-word piece of content, like a longish article that you've written, and you're thinking, right, okay, so where's the social post within this? What do you recommend in terms of like a starting point of just assessing that piece and finding the angles and the content and the posts?
Yeah. So I can walk you through the process in the course because it's kind of the way that I think about it. So something that's difficult is you have your 1,000-word piece, and even though you know it back to front, it's difficult to look at 1,000 words and scroll and kind of see it for what it is, right? So the course starts with reverse outlining. So even if you have an outline before you start, usually the final draft ends up a little bit different than the outline, depending on wherever the process took you. So you can manually reverse outline your draft by just kind of putting, you know, in the intro, I said this, in the H2, I said this, like one sentence for each one, maybe bulleted lists for the H3s, or there's an AI prompt to help you do that in like 2 seconds. So now you're looking at your outline and you're like, okay, I said this. And really every single H2 or H3 point already can be its own post, right? Because it's its own point. So that's like the starting point. From there, you want to look at the face value themes, right? So from the big picture, what was the goal of this? Like, what's the premise? Why does this piece exist in the world? And simply by answering those questions in a few sentences or using an AI prompt, those already give you some ideas that you can go deeper into. Next up, you want to look at the parts, right? So each H2 or H3, and zoom in and zoom out on them. So questions I like to ask myself are like, who's the enemy here, right? So if I'm talking about how content editing is important, the enemy would be someone that says editing doesn't matter, just ship, right? So a social post could then be talking about how shipping without editing can cause you these, you know, X problems, and I can talk about that. And you also want to ask yourself questions like, you know, if people didn't listen to my point of view here, what are the consequences of that? So if people don't edit and they ship their posts, like, what are the consequences of that? And even deeper, you know, but if you do listen to me, here are the better results you could get. So it's a process of asking yourself face value and then like zoomed in and zoomed out questions on the parts of each part of your outline so that you can really get to like the meat of what matters. And within each of those answers, there's a bunch of post ideas.
I absolutely love that, the zoomed in, zoomed out, like there's all the content within it, but I love the whole kind of now zoom out, what's the enemy of this, what's the alternative of this, what if you didn't do this? I think quite often when people talk about repurposing and they're talking about repurposing a blog post or a podcast episode and things like that, they get repurposing mixed up with reposting and also just regurgitating, go and check this out, go and check this out in multiple different ways and like not really bringing or sharing anything new. Well, you're talking about obviously finding all the different depth within the post and then looking at the big picture outside of it as well. You mentioned AI a few times where you were saying, you know, there are AI tools for the reverse outline, and then obviously you said about finding the other angles. So what AI tools in particular do you recommend, and what are the kind of guardrails you think you should put up in terms of what you could help get support from AI and where you really should, like, you know, get back to the human side?
Oh yeah, so just disclaimer, I never use AI to write for me ever. So that's just a big no-no, like it's really bad at that. I hope it gets better, but right now it's just absolutely terrible. I partner with someone who is like a prompt engineer. He's really, really good at AI. He's been doing this since before AI was cool. His name's Rob Lennon. And so he writes what he calls mega prompts, which are super long prompts that you can use in any of the AI tools like ChatGPT, Claude. I think there's something called Opus. If I'm honest, I'm not an AI expert. I don't know all of the tools that you can use it in, but the prompt works the same across all of them. So those are the ones I mainly use ChatGPT for that. And so the way that it works in the course is there's an accompanying workbook that you can kind of go through. And in the workbook or at the bottom of each lesson, you copy paste the prompt. So you copy the prompt and you put it into whatever your favorite LLM is that can accept prompts and give you output. And you then obviously want to assess the answers with your mind. So I would never recommend point blank, okay, it's given me these like 20 things to think about, so I'm just going to absolutely go post about these 20 things. Like, no, you have to then go back to your strategy and goals and premise for the post. Like, does this fit into my overarching strategy, my overarching positioning and messaging? Does it make sense for me to tackle this or not? So yeah, that's what I would recommend.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's really comedy if you put something like a blog post into a tool like ChatGPT and ask it to come up with 50 social posts from this blog post. I mean, like you said, I've not found it to be particularly good at actually writing the content, and the lack of context is staggering as well. You know, it just pick up a random sentence that's referring to something that was talked about previously with no context and suggest that's a social post and things like that. So
yeah, so this is all process driven. So ChatGPT cannot handle a ton of information and requests at a time. So we do it step by step. There's 8 steps in the course. So you start by reverse outlining, then you have ChatGPT give you the face value answers, then you have ChatGPT give you the zoomed in and the zoomed out answers. So you go step by step, and so it builds on itself. So you get ideas at each stage.
Hey, just a little break from this podcast episode to ask you a question. Would you like one single place that you can go to that provides you with everything you need to be able to implement the best practices in content repurposing for your video content, your podcast episodes, and your social media content today? To help you get more value from the content that you create, get more time back, and help you reach more people than you ever thought possible. If so, then you are going to love the Content 10X Toolkit. The toolkit is full of video tutorials, templates, checklists, swipe files, step-by-step guides, and more that shows you how to repurpose your content in the best ways possible today. No more Googling, no more figuring it out yourself. We provide you with everything that you need to become a content repurposing pro. If this sounds like something that would interest you, then go check out the Content 10X Toolkit at content10x.com/toolkit. Okay, and back to this week's episode. And then when you have the ideas and you've got a really good idea of where you can go with this on social and the different posts that you can do, let's say, for example, LinkedIn, because you're excellent at creating content for LinkedIn. And as you said, you've got huge followers and connections, and it's something that you're really good at. Firstly, what are your pet peeves in terms of the ways that you see people share posts on LinkedIn? Because there's a real knack to it, and there's some really annoying things that people do. Are there any that you're like, oh my God, for the love of God, would people just stop doing that style of post on LinkedIn?
Yeah. So the first offense is a terrible hook designed to get eyeballs, and it's just absolutely impossible for whatever comes after that hook to be true, like logically true. So for example, I can teach you more in 2 minutes than you learned in 4 years of university. Like, there's absolutely no way that that's true, but that's a really popular social hook, right? So things like that are super annoying, and I make fun of it all the time because it drives me insane. The other thing is formatting is a big deal on social, right? But you can definitely over format your posts to the point of being annoying. So you do not need a line break after every single sentence, right? And people do that all the time. And I find that to be extremely distracting, and it puts me off, as opposed to just, allow yourself to have a couple lines, right? You don't necessarily want to have more than four, because it's important to know that most people read LinkedIn posts on their phone. At least I think it's 60 or 70%. So if you have four lines back to back without white space, that's almost your entire screen. And that's difficult to read. So that's why formatting is important. But yeah, there's an article out there called Dead Browitz Society, I believe. And they coined someone in that article, or they referenced someone who coined the term browitry. And that's essentially just the sentence break after the line break after every single sentence. That's super annoying.
I've never heard of that, the Browitz thing, but I can completely relate to it. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about. I can't bring myself to do it, and it does really irritate me when I see that as well. I just don't get it. Like, I just don't. I get the whole kind of white space, and people's eyes maybe will just flow down and skim down nice and easily because you've broken it up so much. But it's such a irritating format to read, isn't it? What do you think about taking that to that other level where there's the hook and then they do like about three line spaces between that and the neck where they start, because they want you to hit read more so that you engage, so they get an engagement tick on the algorithm?
I don't like that. Yeah, I don't like that either. I've never done that. There's just anytime it looks like you're intentionally doing something for the algorithm, it's going to put people off. It just will. So yeah, I don't like that either. And the selfies are a bit intense at the moment. I don't really like selfies. So there was a report that came out recently that LinkedIn does boost your post a little bit more if you have a selfie. But I don't know. It's one of those things where I also find it a bit off-putting if you have a selfie with every single post. Some people swear by it and it absolutely works for them. So I would say my best advice is go with your personal preference. If you put a selfie or you do a bunch of line breaks and it feels unnatural to you, then you're going to hate being there. And the number one rule of succeeding on LinkedIn is to actually enjoy being on LinkedIn, or else you're not going to be consistent there.
Yeah, 100%. Was it the LinkedIn algorithm report? I think it was Richard Bliss that I saw sharing it. It's a really good report, isn't it? I know, like, you take all of it in terms of the context that you want to take it in and stuff, but I saw that as well. And you see, there was a lot about the single image posts and the image carousels and how many images to have in a carousel and things like that, and text posts versus like images. And it's all really interesting, and it gets you to thinking about the content that you're sharing on LinkedIn, doesn't it? And actually, I guess in terms of the whole long to short and taking big articles and things like that and creating the social media content, it's not just the written posts, is it, as well? So turning that into images, into sliding carousels or other useful like infographics, or maybe you should jump on a short video to make that point if that's the way that you like to do content and it works for you and things like that. So there's it's thinking about the different media and different uses of each platform as well, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. I really love carousels. They take me a long time to make, so I don't post them as often as I want to, but they tend to perform quite well. And they're really good if you want to either tell a longer story or show like before and after examples or get a bit tactical. They're just a really cool way to do a post. I don't do video too much, but I think video is on the rise. So that's something to keep an eye out for. And yeah, if you ever just want to put, you know, do a little text image along with what you're saying as well, all of those are things you should experiment with and watch the data.
Yeah, absolutely. See what's working for you, what's working for your audience. Yeah, I completely agree. In terms of the social platforms, I know obviously we just both were talking about the algorithm report that came out not that long ago and just being on the platforms and seeing what's working and what's not working. Are there any other ways that you stay up to date on like the latest trends and the best practices for the social platforms? Any particular resources or anything like that?
So I just kind of keep my ear to the ground whenever someone says anything about what's working for them or not. I pay attention to a lot of personal data that people share. Because even though it's not in some big report, I like to see, okay, this person's doing a lot of that and they say it's working for them. Who are they? Who are their, who's their audience? And, you know, why is this working for them? So I sort of just keep note of all of that. And I make sure that I follow the unannoying people that are that kind of post about that all the time so that I see all of their updates on it as well. I don't really go to the SERPs for my information about that because I find them to be a bit outdated and very like SEO augmented. And, you know, they'll always say things like, oh, make sure you post at, you know, 9 a.m. Eastern or the best time for your audience. So again, like I like to follow a lot of what's working for people. And luckily people post that a lot if you pay attention. So
yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you engage with the content you want to see more of, and then you do start to see more of it, don't you? So you sometimes have to tell the algorithm what you like. I wanted to ask you, so your course, Long to Short, about long content to short form content, your course is a long form piece of content. How are you repurposing your course? Like, you know, do you have a plan for how you are repurposing it, apart from obviously like the standard promotion of it and things like that?
I love this question because I'm literally thinking about that this week and for the rest of my courses too. So this is cool. Okay, so I plan on writing email sequences for each one of my courses. So I'm going to have a welcome sequence that sort of mentions all of them. And then for the people that show interest in one or the other, I think I'll have funnels that talk more about that course. So I'm definitely going to be using email. I'll continue to promote it on social in terms of both like top and bottom of funnel. So, you know, I've got this course and it does this, and I'll probably do that maybe once a month, but also testimonials from it. I think I saw Jay Klaus actually posted this morning, and this is exactly what I mean by watching what other people are saying. So Jay Klaus made a masterclass style intro to one of his courses, and he posted about it this morning, and he said, hey, you know, this is a new way that I'm going to start to promote my courses. What do you think? And I think that that's really smart. So I think I'll probably do a masterclass, like, you know, do you know what I'm talking about with the masterclass things? I get targeted ads for them on Instagram all the time. It's like a 2-minute intro that sort of says, you know, this is the problem that this solves. Here, I'm this person, and like, here's why you should take this course. So I think I'll probably do media like that. I'm going to continue to go on podcasts and any interview show that I can to talk about it, and then repurpose those clips of me talking about it across, you know, social. I don't have my own blog at the moment, but if I did, and when I do, I would write more long form about it. Yeah. And I probably should also create some sort of an infographic or some sort of a graphic that shows the step-by-step as well. So it's really easy to visualize. So there's tons of things to do. I'm very excited.
An infographic, because it's following a process, isn't it? An infographic, a carousel, like you were just saying as well, like a kind of maybe sharing some of the principles within it and things like that. And like just extracting our little tips and snippets and advice and things like that as well.
Something else that's worked well for me in the past that I'll probably do as well is create a lead magnet. So you give what the problem solves and a little bit of the solution away so that people can see something, an outcome, and, you know, and then they get excited about potentially getting even more of those outcomes.
So, yeah, that sounds really good. Yeah. Like you were talking about how you share some really useful prompts, like really well-written, like detailed prompts and things like that. So, you know, so like to the people who are quite drawn to the AI world, there could be something in that, couldn't there? And then there could be an alternative one for people who are more interested in like the other side of it. And also, if you had the time, I suppose some live short webinars that lead straight into course sign up could be quite...
I forgot about that. We're actually running one of those this month. That was... Yeah, so we had three tiers. We had the lowest tier, which was just the course, middle tier, which was the course and a live kind of demonstration of it in a Q&A. And then the highest tier was a three-course bundle discount. So we're going to be running the webinar slash workshop later this month, and then I'll repurpose those clips into tons of other
things. Yeah, that's it, isn't it? I recently did a webinar a couple of weeks ago, and it is like the gift that keeps on giving, because the webinar, it is what it is in itself, and then you've got that content to repurpose from the webinar into lots of clips and things like that. So yeah, that's another form of long to short, isn't it? Long video into short video content. So for somebody who is really inspired by this conversation and they're thinking, okay, I have so many fantastic blog posts or articles and I must be able to get 50 plus pieces of social content, aside from obviously go get your course, what is the biggest like tip, like just one tip? If you're going to do that, then this is my one killer tip.
Yeah. So you don't want to post about everything and anything on social. The best way to grow on social is to build authority around a handful of topics. I don't believe that you should only pick, you know, one pillar, two pillar, three, like everyone has their quantifiable number of pillars that you should pick. Try to pick however many you feel comfortable. It should be somewhere around five, definitely not more than 10. And you want to think about social as building authority in something that you're known for, and spending 80% of your time talking about those things. And then 20% of your time talking about whatever the hell you want. Like this morning, I posted a picture of me working with my chihuahua. That falls into none of my pillars except for the fact that this is fun and it shows a bit of my personality. And that's a really important part of social as well, especially if you're an entrepreneur. A little bit less important if you work at a company, I suppose. But if you are in the business of working for yourself and marketing yourself, a lot of the reason why people say that they buy from me and the reason why I buy from people is because I feel a personal connection to them. And they said something totally unrelated to their pillars that resonated with me. So when you go and you take all this long form content you've written about, make sure that it falls into some sort of an umbrella of authority that you want to be known for, and then spread it out. So, you know, don't talk about just that one thing over a week. We have a little module in the course that says, you know, if you want to, there's like two ways to bucket content. You can either do like authority buckets where I'm only going to talk about this for a week or a month, or you can schedule this authority topic, you know, one or two days a week and schedule it out for 6 months. So yeah, those are my insights there.
Yeah, absolutely love that. And spreading out the different pillars and things like that. And it's such a good point that you made about just having that extra 10-20% of whatever you want. For me, you know, all the time that we can pour into more pillar related posts, and then the one where it's a photo of me skiing or something, it's like the highest engaged. We'll do like quarterly reviews of content, and we'll look at the ones that perform the best. And it's often quite embarrassing when it's like, well, yeah, again, it was the one where you were eating a cake that got the most likes. And we're like, right, aside from that, from the pillars, what's performed the best? But it's just because it's exactly what we said, isn't it? It is, you know, so cliche, social in social media, but it is social media, isn't it? We're not all AI and robots yet. We do actually want to go in and see the human side and understand the people, don't we? So it's important not to forget that. Yeah.
Let me give one more little bonus tip.
Brilliant.
Posting is not everything on social, so you should also spend a lot of your time commenting, especially about your pillars or the authority that you're trying to build. So another great way is to just kind of, if you don't buy this course, something you can do is read through all of your content just to be re-inspired by an idea and then talk about it in comments. So if you see someone talking about the same topic, it'll be fresh in your mind. Oh yeah, like I talked about this a few months ago, and it's so it's top of mind and I totally feel this way about this. For me, I've made most of my friends on social through comments, commenting on their stuff or responding to comments on my posts. And you really need that group of people because they're going to be the ones who are kind of advocating for you and commenting on your stuff as well. So don't forget about comments.
And is there anything that you do in particular to make sure that you're commenting, you know, on the a particular set of people's content in terms of do you have a spreadsheet or something where you monitor certain accounts more than others just in case something posted that you didn't see that you can still make sure that you go and comment?
Up until this point, I have not had spreadsheets. I've had lists on Twitter that I refer to quite often. It's harder on LinkedIn. They don't make it easy. You can filter and then I think save like a filter as a bookmark. But there is a tool called Taplio that a lot of people I know use and love. And I think I'm finally ready to get into it now that I'm working it for myself. I believe you can build engagement lists in that tool and other tools potentially like that. Yeah.
That sounds really interesting. We'll have to have a look at that as well. So thank you. Yeah, it's such a good point. And I had Ashley Foss, works at
Atlassian. Yeah, I love her.
And yeah, she's fantastic. And she was on the podcast and we were talking about her favorite type of content to repurpose. And she said presentation slides and repurposing them. And she said two things. And the second one was comments. She said, you know, writing really good responses and comments and things like that, and then repurposing her comments into her own content and her own posts and referencing back to the comments and taking the conversation to a different place. It was just really interesting. I wasn't expecting her to say that, but she said, similar to you, that she's had so much success in terms of, you know, relationship building and growing her brand and awareness in comments.
Totally. She's someone that comments on most of my stuff and vice versa.
Oh, really?
Oh, I don't know how that started, but you know, I've never even met her. I've never done anything like this with her, but we always are talking on LinkedIn. And to that point, I'm sure there's a better way to do this, but I usually, if I write a good comment and I feel really like I should talk about this more, I'll just take a screenshot of it. And I have a folder on my desktop called comments to turn into posts.
So that's brilliant.
The simplest way to get started.
Yeah. And that's exactly what Ashley was saying, turning a good comment that you had more to say into a post. So obviously great minds think alike there. Well, Erica, thank you so much for coming on the Content 10X podcast. It's been a fantastic conversation and I'm sure, you know, everybody listening in has taken so many golden nuggets and advice and will be inspired to really be looking at their content and how we can get more from it with more of a, you know, sort of strategic way of approaching it. Where would you like people to go to obviously get hold of the course? And also I'll connect with you as well, I'm assuming LinkedIn, but
yeah, you can go to my LinkedIn profile. My name's Erica Schneider and I've got like a turquoise background in my picture. And if you want to make sure that you get, you know, free writing and editing advice and find my courses easily, then you can sign up to my newsletter. It's called Cut the Fluff and it's in the profile part of my LinkedIn banner.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, we'll put the links to everything in the show notes for everyone to get easy access to that. So that's fantastic. Well, thank you. It's been amazing having you on the show. So thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so I hope you enjoyed that discussion and thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoy the Content 10X podcast, then why not hit that subscribe button on your podcast listening app of choice so that you can get updated when new episodes are released. And I'd really, really appreciate it if you could leave a review as well. That really makes a difference for the podcast. Also, please do get a copy of my book, Content 10X, More Content, Less Time, Maximum Results. It is the ultimate guide to repurposing every type of content. And it's available on Amazon, in Kindle and paperback, and also in audiobook as well. And you can head to content10x.com/book to find all the other places that you can get a copy of my book. And if you would like us to do your content repurposing for you, then we offer a fully end-to-end done-for-you content repurposing service. This is for podcasters and video content creators. We have our podcast 10x, video 10x, and also our specific LinkedIn 10x service, helping you to become the leading authority in your industry on LinkedIn. You can find out so much more about our services on our website. And also, please do give me a follow on the social media platforms. I share lots and lots of tips and advice on social media about content repurposing. I'm at content10x on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And if you try content10x.com/LinkedIn, you'll find my LinkedIn profile over there as well. All that's left to say is thank you so much for listening to this week's episode, and I'll catch you in the next one.